Yeah. It's like when I go golfing, they have this phrase that you don't start until you start, which means like if very first shot, if you hit a horrible tee shot, it's like, well, that didn't count. I haven't started yet. And then when you hit a good tee shot, you're like, okay, that was shot one. The game's on now. So, all right. So I'm going to continue a series we've been in for a while now called Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? And a lot of opinions out there about who Jesus is, what he's really like, and we want to know who he really is according to what the Bible says. And so we can know him as he really is and worship him the way God tells us to, and so we can receive what he came to give us, right? So I want to read this scripture. It's a statement from an angel about Jesus, and it says in Matthew 1:21, Jesus was in the womb at this point. He was in Mary's womb. He wasn't even born yet. And an angel came to Joseph, his earthly father, and said, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Everybody say, Jesus will save us from our sins. Okay? That's a significant statement right there. I want to share with you, a lot of people think there's, of course, the title of my message today is Jesus is the only way to heaven, okay? This is what the Bible teaches, and this is what I'm going to talk about today, and I want you to see it for yourself in the scripture. I don't want you to see it as coming from, this is like church tradition. I don't want you to just see it as this is coming from Jeff or from some teacher out there. I want you to see with your own eyeballs in the Bible, this is coming from God. This is what he says. Because what happens is when you stand before God, you're going to die, you're going to stand before God, and you are going to give an account for your life. That's what's going to happen. And when you get there, the standard you will be evaluated by is what he said in the Word. You're not going to be evaluated by what I said or what anybody else said or what your parents taught you or what the media says or what your culture or teachers say or your coaches say or movie stars say. You're going to be evaluated by what God said. That's the truth. And so I'm like, okay, I just give it to me straight, Jesus. That's the way I am. Give it to me straight. I want to know what's true. I want to know what's real, and I'll adjust to it. I'll conform my life to that because that's dependable. So here's what happens. Long time ago, God created the earth. God created the heavens. And on a piece of real estate in a garden in the Middle East, God created two human beings. Adam, anybody know the second one? Yeah, Adam and Eve. Okay, so Adam and Eve lived in perfect relationship with God. And they had absolute harmony with God. They were totally intimately connected with him. They were like one with him. They could hear his voice. They experienced his love. They experienced his provision. They were filled with joy. And everything they touched was blessed because God said, everything you touch will be blessed. It's going to be fruitful. It's going to multiply. And everything they did was blessed by the Lord because they were in perfect union with God. They were in perfect union with each other. They never had a fight. They never argued. They never got offended. They never got angry with one another. I mean, it was bliss living there. It was the way God intended it. But then something happened. The devil came in the form of a serpent, and he tempted Adam and Eve to disobey God. Because God had told them, he says, he created all these trees in the garden. And he says, you can eat the fruit from every single tree in this garden. Like any tree you see, have it, enjoy it as much as you want. Have fun. I created it for your enjoyment. But it says, except for one tree. This one tree right here in the middle of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, don't eat this. And the reason why is because if you eat the fruit from this tree, you will surely die. And so they do good for a while, but then the devil comes in the form of a serpent, and he starts twisting God's words, and he starts, through deception, he starts attacking God's character. And he talks to Eve, and he's trying to convince her. He's like, yeah, the reason he said that, he's trying to keep you from something good. That's why. He knows that if you eat this tree, you're going to become like him. And he's just arrogant, and he doesn't want you to be like him and all this kind of stuff, and which wasn't the case at all. He didn't want them to eat it because they'd die. because he cared about them and he loved them. And so she started believing the devil's words instead of God's words. That's where the problem started. And eventually, when you start believing the devil's logic, you're going to start acting out the devil's actions, which is disobeying God. It's called sin. And so she disobeyed God, Adam disobeyed God, and immediately they felt shame. Immediately, their relationship with God was broken. That deep, intimate union with God, who is the source of all life. I mean, there's like one power source. Life comes from a person. It comes from God, who is eternal. He has no beginning and he has no end. He is eternal. Life comes from him. He's the source of life. It comes from his very being. It's who he is. He can't turn it off. He can't die. He is the source of all life. He is the source of everything that is good. He's the source of love. He's the source of joy and happiness. Like everything that's good, it comes from his very being. And when they were connected with him, I got an illustration even today. When they were connected with God, right? Sorry, this is as good as it gets. I don't ever do these things. The dust bunny right there on it, but that's okay. When they're plugged into God, the life, the joy, the love, the wisdom, the power, everything that was in him, it flowed through them. Everything they touched, it flowed in them, it flowed through them, and everything was blessed as long as they were connected in relationship with God. But when they disobeyed God, obedience keeps us connected. When they disobeyed God, they were unplugged. They got disconnected from the source of life and power, and death began its work inside of them. Right? And ever since that moment, God has been working on his action plan to get human beings to turn away from their sin and get them plugged back into God in relationship with him so that his life can come into them again. And they, instead of experiencing judgment, they can experience his life and live with him forever. Amen? Okay? So here's the deal. Salvation is a gift that God provided for us. It's not something that we can provide for ourselves. It's something God provides for us. How many of you know if you see somebody drowning in the middle of an ocean? They're out there, they're drowning in the middle of an ocean. They can't swim. How many of you, they can't save themselves. They can't do it. They can't swim. There's nothing they can do to save themselves. They are completely 100% at the mercy of somebody coming alongside them and lifting them out of their life-threatening situation and bringing them to safety again. You guys with me? That's what it's like in our sin. We're drowning in our disobedience to God. And we can't save ourselves. Salvation is not something human beings can say, I'm going to think of a way to live forever. I keep working on that. Seriously. We're talking about eternal life. And people being like, I'm going to figure out a way I'm going to live forever. Good luck. I don't think it's going to work. But God says, I got a way for you to live forever. This was my original intention for you. And even though you disconnected yourself from me, I have made a way, I have opened a pathway of salvation for to get you out of your sin and plug back into me so you can live forever. And the way God has provided for salvation is through his son, who is Jesus. You guys ready? It's Jesus. I love this quote from Reinhard Bonnke. He says, Christianity is the only religion where God seeks man. Oh, it's beautiful to me. The heathens spread a table for their gods and invite them to come. But the Christian God prepares a table for his children and invites them to come. Isn't that awesome? Like, this is our God. He's like, I love you guys. I'm going to provide a table of life and blessing and eternal salvation for you. And you can come to the table through my son by believing and obeying Jesus as the way that he's provided. Here's the deal. We have no ability to, the human predicament, the problem is sin. As soon as people got disconnected from God, sickness came into the earth. murder, envy, jealousy, strife, depression, depravity, immorality, all these things that are destroying the world as we speak came in through human sin. When we chose, I know your way, but I'm going to do it my way. And when we do it our way, it breaks. It doesn't work. God says, I'll tell you what, in spite of the fact that you made a bad choice, I still love you. I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to fix the whole thing. As we have no ability to cleanse ourselves from the guilt of sin. Like, we are guilty. There's a real court in heaven that we're going to stand. We're going to stand in that court, and our sins will be, whew, I mean, they will be listed in detail one by one. I listened to this evangelist the other day, and his name is Steve Hill. And he was talking about when he was a young man before he knew the Lord, and he was a drug addict. He was a drug dealer. He's always getting in trouble with the law. And there was a time where they he was coming to trial and for some charges against him, and his mom had made this huge sacrifice to hire him like this really expensive, super good lawyer. You know, guaranteed going to get me off the hook. This guy is really sharp, excellent lawyer. And so he sits down with the attorney beforehand, and he's like, and Steve told him, you know, his story. And the guy was like, yeah, no problem. I know the law so well. I'll be able to get you off this, no problem. They get in there, the first thing, you know, Steve's sitting there in the courtroom, and all of a sudden the prosecutor gets up, and he pulls out this list. Long. I mean, he said it was like a half-inch thick stacks of paper. And he says something like this. On June 1st at 6 a.m., Steve left his house. He was wearing blue jeans. He was wearing a red t-shirt. He got inside of a green car, and he drove to the supermarket. At this supermarket, he put this in the trash can. And a little while later, people showed up, and they picked up the drugs. You know, the guy showed up, and he made the exchange. Next, on this date, he was wearing this at this location. I mean, it was to the detail. And he says, all of a sudden, my heart just started going. He's like, I'm dead. He's like, they have nailed me, man. He's like, they have got me. He's like, I did every single one of those things that they listed. And he realized, I am guilty. The his defense attorney pulls him aside because this was surprise information to him. Steve hadn't told him the whole truth. His defending attorney pulls him inside. He says, you lied to me, man. He's like, I know the law. I can help you. I can work with the law. But you have to be honest with me. You have to tell me the truth. I can't help you if you're not going to tell me the truth. And you're lying to me. You're guilty, aren't you? So he's like, okay, man, I did it. Yes, I'm guilty. There is a day coming when every one of us, every human being on the planet, we're going to stand in the court of God, and there will be no parole, there will be no second trial, there'll be no mistrial for bad information because his records are perfect, they're up to date. We'll stand before Jesus, the one who loves us and died for us, will be our judge. And we'll stand before him, and he will list out our sin. And there'll be no defense for it. No defense, because we are guilty as charged. We've all broken the laws of God. Every single, God is built into, he's hardwired into the human conscience, a sense of right and wrong. That's why we know, you know, there's times, even before we know the word of God and we know Jesus, we just know, like growing up, there's times we want to do something really bad, but we know it's wrong, but we like, and we just do it anyway. We disobey our parents. We take the toy from the other kid, you know, whatever it is, and it gets worse as it goes on. But we're guilty. That's the problem. We are guilty of sin, and we're going to stand in that high court of heaven, and there will be zero defense that we could provide for ourselves, because every charge will be accurate, and everybody's going to know. There's a sense of justice. When you break the law, there's a penalty. Is this true? You know, God's hardwired into the human conscience a sense of justice as well. That's why we hit the brakes when we see a cop in our rearview mirror. Because we know if I'm breaking the law, there's going to be a consequence. Right? Because you know there is right and there is wrong, and people define it in different ways. But I'm like, hey, I want to know, God, how do you define it? Because when I stand before you, no other opinion will matter at all. Your opinion of what's right, your opinion of what's wrong is the standard I'm going to be judged by. So let me know what it is so I can conform, because I want to stand in the court on that day and be innocent and to be free. But all of us are already guilty. How do we get our conscience cleared from the stuff we've already done? There's only one way. God says, I provided a way for you. I provided a way for you. This is a sure way. I promise you it works. How do I know? Because the judge who will render the verdict is the man who died on the cross. He sent Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. I've made a way. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty that you deserve. And here's what I'll do. He says, if you will leave your rebellion, come back to me, and submit to my authority, submit to my leadership. He's like, not only will I forgive all of your sins, he says, but I'm going to adopt you as my son and daughter into my family. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to fully restore you. This is the way that God has provided for salvation. It's only through Jesus. What I love about God is not only does he cleanse us from our guilt, so I get a good verdict. At the judgment seat, there's this book. It's called the Book of Life. Whose Book of Life? The Lamb's Book of Life. It's talking about Jesus. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You guys with me? And it's called Jesus' Book of Life. And in it, he has the name and the good deeds written of everyone who used to be separated from him in their sins, but chose to believe and obey his word and follow him as their king. And their sins are forgiven. And when we stand in that court, our name's going to be read. And he's going to say, they're innocent. They're innocent. And we're going to be like, thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Not only that, he's going to say, on June 7th at 3:34 a.m., Jeff Mann saw a man who was homeless on the side of the street. And his heart was moved with compassion, and he prayed. He says, God, I ask that you would bless that man. Good deed. He says, I'm going to give you a reward for that. And he's going to list off every single morning at 8 a.m., so-and-so got up, got her kids out of bed, changed their diapers, got them dressed for the day, got breakfast for them, served them, and helped them get to school. Train them in the way that they should go. You know, these things matter to God. And instead, we're going to stand before him. Our sins are gone because of what Jesus did. And he's going to reward us for the acts of righteousness that we did in gratitude to the gift that he gave us of salvation. Isn't that cool? This is the way that God has provided. He cleanses us from guilt in regard to sin. Second thing he does, he delivers us from the power of sin. That is cool to me. Because it's one thing to be forgiven, but I'm like, God, don't leave me here, because I'll just do it again. Like, deliver me. I don't want to keep sinning. Like, I want to be done with this. I don't want to, like, you fix me, and then I keep doing the thing and getting myself broken again. God, show me the way and set me free from sin's power so I can live for God and do things right. That's what I want to do. That's what Jesus provides, the salvation he provides. It does that. And the third thing is Jesus' blood, it heals us from the effects of our sin. It cleanses us from guilt, delivers us from sin's power, and heals us from sin's effects. He restores our life, amen? Okay, so here's what I want you to see in these scriptures. I'm just going to go through. God has provided a way of salvation. Let me just say this. God has provided a way of salvation. It's through Jesus. I want you to see it in these scriptures. Don't take my word for it. Our choice is not to choose a way of salvation. It's to accept or reject the way of salvation, the only way of salvation that God has provided. It's through following Jesus. And people, what happens when we do this? When you say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's too narrow. God, you're narrow-minded, and who do you think you are that you think you can call the shots? He's like, that's your rebellion talking. That's what I'm trying to get you out of. You guys with me? No, I won't follow Jesus. I'm going to find another way. He's like, that's your rebellion. You're just doing what you've always done. That's the problem. I'm trying to rescue you from this. And what happens is it doesn't work. And hopefully we figure that out sooner before it's too late so we can take the way that does work, which is following Jesus. Amen. All right, John 3, 31 through 36. John the Baptist is testifying about Jesus, and he says, he has come from above, that's heaven. Do you guys have a handout? I want you to read these scriptures along with me as I'm reading. Not out loud, but I'll read out loud, you read silently, because I want you to see it in the word for yourself. So it says, Jesus has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard. Here's what he's saying, okay? He's like, so many people on the earth, we all have an opinion about heaven and God and what he's like and how to get to heaven and what heaven's going to be like and what eternity's going to be like. You know what the problem is? None of us have even been there. And all of our opinions, many times, all the people's opinions, imagine this. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say that I got up. I've never been to Africa in my entire life. I've never seen a picture of Africa, never watched a video of Africa, and I've never met anyone who actually came from Africa. And I get up here, and I tell you authoritatively, this is what Africa's like. Africa's like this. Yeah, but I talked to so-and-so, but they've never been there. And all of us make up our opinions. Well, this is what I think. If I was in Africa, this is what it would be like. How many of you know, I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Wow. Power.
I would have no clue what I'm talking about whatsoever. But then all of a sudden, a man comes who's from Africa. And he hears the crazy tales I'm telling about his homeland. And he's going, that's not Africa. You have no idea what you're talking about. That's not the way to get to Africa. You've never even been there. You got to go the opposite direction from what you're saying. And he would set the record straight. Listen, I'm from Africa. Let me tell you what I've seen and what I've heard. I'm from there. This is what John the Baptist is saying about Jesus. It's like everybody has their opinion about who God is, what he's like, and how to get to heaven. He's like, Jesus is from there. He is God, and he's come from heaven. He talks about what he's seen and what he's heard. That's why we know his testimony is legit. That's exactly what he's saying here. He says, but few believe what he tells them. That's a problem, isn't it? Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Now here's the key I want you to see. And anyone who believes in God's Son, who is that? Okay, good. Has what? Okay. So we know if you believe in God's Son, you're going to have eternal life, right? All right, let's check the next sentence. Anyone who doesn't obey Jesus will never experience what? Is that pretty clear? But remains under God's angry judgment. Because no plea bargain is going to work in the court of heaven. One thing's going to work. I plead the blood of Jesus in my defense. Has cleansed me from my sin. I had this conversation with you already, Judge Jesus, who is also Savior Jesus. You talk to me about my sin. I acknowledge you're right. Would you forgive me? He says, yes, I forgive you. Now you're my son. Next scripture, Acts chapter 4, verse 11 through 12. Peter's preaching about Jesus, and he said, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this can't be any clearer, salvation is found in no one else. Not Buddha. Not yourself. You know, my willpower, I'm going to be a good person, and I'm just going to rise up, and you can't save yourself. Not going to happen. no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's only one name given to heaven that will work, that will save us. It's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what it says, right? No other way works. That's the problem. Like, no other way works. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is this clear? Okay. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest. Listen to this. He, speaking of Jesus, became the source of what? Yeah, eternal salvation. It comes from one source. You got to go to Jesus. He is the source of eternal salvation for all those who what? Okay, notice obedience is an important detail. Actually, I meant to point this out in the first passage I looked at, in verse 36 of John chapter 3. At first it says, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Then it says, anyone who doesn't obey. Well, which is it? Do you have to believe or obey? It's both. They're the same thing in God's eyes. If you believe, you will obey. If you don't obey, you don't believe. I mean, that's really the way it is. That's the way God sees it. It's not like one is option A, and then, you know, if you believe, that's requirement, but you don't really have to obey. But if you do that, you get extra credit. That's not it. Like, to believe is to obey. If you don't obey, you still don't believe. That's what the Bible says, okay? So they're synonymous with each other. This, John 17:3. Now this is Jesus' own words. He says, the guy who knows what he's talking about. This is eternal life, that they may know you. He's talking to his Father in heaven. That they, talking about us, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is found in knowing God through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the only way to know him. Do you guys see it? Okay. Listen to this one. This is a good one. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 6. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That's the heart of God. Do you know that God actually wants people to be saved? He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Nobody goes to hell because that was God's dream for their life when he created them. They go to hell because they abandoned his dream for their life and chose another way. And all other roads lead to a dead end, which is the lake of fire. God wants everybody to know the truth. He doesn't want anybody to be deceived. He wants people to know the truth and to be saved. And what's the truth that can save them? Next verse. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and human beings. The man, Christ Jesus. Is that so clear? Is it? I want you to see it for yourself. There were so many more verses that, I mean, it's like, this is a huge, huge, huge subject. This is a no-brainer. If you read the Bible, it's just like, this is obvious. This is so clear. Like, an 8-year-old can read the Bible and get this really clear. It's like, yeah, is there any way to get saved other than through Jesus? Like, not that I can read. Just understanding the simple message. Jesus gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. John 10, verse 9, Jesus speaking again. He says, yes, I am the gate. I like this. I am the gate. I want you to just think, what is a gate? A gate is like there's a wall or a fence. And the only way to access what's inside that fence is you got to find a door and go through it. And Jesus is the doorway into the kingdom of God. He's the doorway. That's what he's saying. I am the gate. I am the doorway into the kingdom of God. It's like, I want you to live inside the kingdom of God, which is eternal. You'll have eternal life. You'll know me. I'll bless you. All this kind of stuff. There's only one way to get inside the kingdom of God. Is you have to come through Jesus. You have to believe what he did for you on the cross, and you have to be willing to follow him as your Lord. He says, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be what? There it is. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. 1 John 5, 9-12. Since we believe in human testimony, this is John the Baptist speaking again, surely we can believe the greater testimony that actually comes from God. Oh, no, this isn't John the Baptist. I'm sorry. This is the Apostle John. This is 1 John. And God has testified. What's God's testimony? I think this is a good question. It's like, okay, I know, like, I am done hearing everyone's opinion about salvation. Okay, God, what's your opinion? What's your opinion on how to get saved? And he says, well, this is what he's saying right here. And God has testified, this is his testimony. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe are actually calling God, what? A liar. Because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. It's a free gift. This life is in where? Who is? There you go. The eternal source of salvation, right? This life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. And if you want to drink the water of eternal salvation, there's only one pool to drink from. And it's Jesus. I love this. It says, those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar. That's true. Because it's like this. Imagine God standing here right in front of you right now. And God says, okay, I'm just going to be honest with you guys because I like you guys. I'm not going to deceive you. I'm just going to lay my cards on the table and tell you exactly the truth. Because I'm the one who knows. I know this. Trust me. He's like, the only way to have eternal life, I've put it in my Son Jesus. So if you want it, you're going to have to go to him and accept it on his terms. You have to follow him and you have to believe him, right? He's like, that's it. And then somebody else says, no, I don't think you're telling the truth. You're trying to hold something back from us. There's another way, is it there? On and on and on. You could fill in the blank with 1,000,001 different philosophies of life that are out there. And all of them come from the same source that spoke to Eve in the garden, the devil. God's just trying to withhold something good from you. He's not telling you that you can have salvation and live in immorality and indulge your selfish nature and hurt other people. And you can continue doing all that stuff and he's still going to let you into heaven. I think about this. I'm like, this thing that like everybody's going to end up in heaven anyway, unless you're really bad. You know, if you're a serial killer, sorry, you're going to hell with the devil. Child molester, sorry. But you know, if all you do is gossip and slander and cheat and take a little money here and there and live for yourself and engage in some immorality, I mean, everybody has needs, right? Well, you know, you'll still be able to be in heaven forever. Who would want to live in that place? I'm serious, you know? It's like, you know, watch out for that neighborhood in heaven. Like, that's where all the angry, bitter people are. I mean, you go into the store there, they're going to be mad for some reason. They're just full of bitterness. You cross them one time, they will never let you forget it. They'll take vengeance on you all day long and put you in your place. Don't go into that neighborhood. It's like, you know, this isn't heaven. That's not the kingdom of God. The good news is God delivers us from that junk. He sets us free. He makes bad people glorious people who are really great to be with. And we want to live with them in the presence of God in a paradise forever and ever and ever. This is going to be bliss. It's going to be awesome. It's not going to be this terrible place. Why? Because terrible people don't go there. Just former terrible people who came to Jesus and got forgiven and got transformed. Last scripture, Romans 10, 9 through 13. Just Paul, he's just telling us the way of salvation here. Here's how to get saved if you want to be saved. If you confess with your mouth, what's the confession that you have to say? Yeah, Jesus is Lord. Who is Lord? Yeah, this is one Lord. One King. You have to declare your allegiance to Him. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in who? In Him. In Him will never be put to shame. Not just trust in, I've heard this said so many times. I talk to people all the time. You know, and they tell me, I just think if your faith is genuine, you know, if my, you know, I'm, they say, you know, I'm New Age, or I'm a Muslim, or I'm Hindu, or you fill in the blank. You know, as long as you just try to be a good person and you genuinely believe in what you believe, you'll get to heaven. But that's not what God says. That's the problem. I mean, sure, it can sound good, I guess, but it's not real. That's the problem. It doesn't actually work. That's not what God said. You have to believe in the Lord, in Jesus. That's what He says. That will get you saved. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. And race is irrelevant. That's what He's saying. It's like, I don't care what your race is. Doesn't matter. The human problem is sin. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. If you will believe in what Jesus did for you, confess Him as your Lord, and start following Him, you will be forgiven. You will be saved. And He says here, He will richly bless all those who call on Him. For everyone who calls on who? The name of the Lord. Yeah, Jesus will be saved. He's the only, you got to call on Him. You got to call on Him. There is no other name. Is this clear? I could give you so many more scriptures, but here's why this is so important. This, in your lifetime, that you're going to see this point right here contested with a vitriol like we've never seen in history before. It's contested right now. People, many people, they hate it. You can say it meekly, humbly, in love. You can say, you know, I love you. I totally respect you. That's why I'm just going to be honest with you. Your philosophy is wrong. It's not going to work for you. I'm telling you that because I don't want you to crash. I want you to be saved. There is a way for you. It's through following Jesus. If you believe and follow Jesus, it'll work. They'll get saved. Who do you think you are to tell me that I'm wrong? It's like, I don't think I'm anybody. I'm telling you what He said, and He has the right to say whatever He wants. He's God. And we forget that sometimes, and we start thinking too highly of ourselves. And we're the peon. He's the really awesome one. That's the reality, okay? I remember I was in my first year of college. It was a speech class. And we had to give like five speeches throughout the semester and in front of the whole class. And we were graded on the speech. And there were different types of speeches. And one of our assignments was to give a persuasive speech. So the goal was we had to pick a topic and try to persuade the audience to our point of view, and then after, we had to answer questions and field questions from the audience. So what am I going to do? I'm preaching Jesus is the only way to salvation. I'm like, you're going to let me preach to a whole class? Yeah. And so I remember people got up there, they gave all their speeches on so many different topics. You know, someone's like, this is the best cocktail, and I'm going to persuade you why. And they'd go on and on about that. And there were so many, like, random topics, you know, they're trying to persuade people. And then I get up there, like, and I'm like, I read John 14, 6. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I share the truth. I'm like, you want to have eternal life. God wants you to have it. It's through Jesus. There's no other way. And I finished my speech, and it was time for me to answer questions from the audience. So this girl raises her hand. The teacher's sitting in the back of the room silently, just grading me. And this girl in the middle of the classroom asks a question. She says, so you're saying that, like, you're saying that everybody who doesn't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven is wrong. Is that what you're saying? And I go, yes. Yeah, you know what that's going to bring, right? I mean, this is a college classroom, not a Christian university. This is a secular college classroom. I am up there and with the Holy Spirit, and I'm just being honest. I'm just like, yes. And I know, I'm like, man, this looks terrible. Like, they're going to, like, crucify me. You know, they're going to grill me. But I can't lie. I can't lie. What am I going to tell them? Just make them feel good? Say something, like, try to blur the lines so I don't technically lie, but I'd make it not really as clear as it is. Why? Because I want you to like me? So I'll get a good grade? Yeah, how's that going to work for me? Then I stand before Jesus as judge, and he's like, selfishness. If you love those people, you would have quit blurring the lines. Speak it as it is because you care about them. Speak it in love. Don't muddle it up. It's not muddled. It's so easy. It's so clear. Speak it, man. So I'm like, yes, that's true. That's what Jesus said. The teacher erupts out of her chair. No joke. In the back of the classroom, she had been silent, even encouraging to all these other people, who, because I didn't go first. And she's like, you know, giving feedback. It was all good. All of a sudden, she's like, wrong! And she stands up, and I'm going, whoa, you know, this is really awkward. And she's like, wrong! She's like, that is terrible. It's wrong. I'm going, okay. And then she's like, you just alienated half the people in your audience with that answer. And I spoke to her. I didn't raise my voice at all. Because to be honest, I was scared. And I just said, well, but I had to tell the truth. So, you know, are you saying I should lie to my audience? I have to tell the truth. And where the chips fall, they fall. And I don't even remember what grade I got. It was an awkward moment. That was pretty much the end. That's the last thing I remember. But I remember afterward, I'm like taking a break in the middle of class, and like we're outside, and the students are all gathering around, and I'm like, I'm so glad that's over. I can't wait to leave. And this other student comes up to me, and she was like, thank you for doing that. She's like, thank you for having courage and sharing that with us. Like, we needed to hear that. That's good. Do you really love people? God does. That's why he always tells the truth. He tells the truth when he knows people will crucify him for it. Because he knows that people don't have the last word, his Father does, and he's going to get resurrected and rewarded forever. And he says to us, I want you to love people the way I love them. I want you to love them enough to speak the truth in humility and gentleness. But speak the truth. Don't muddle the lines. It's not muddled. What I've made clear, it's clear. Just say it like I say it. It's not hard. Do it in love. And they may crucify you for it, but they won't have the last word in your life. I'm going to resurrect you from the dead, and I will bless and reward and honor you forever. I feel the presence of the Lord right now. His word is life. You're living in an environment. You're going to be challenged on this, but you know what? For all the people that challenge you, there's going to be others who are just thanking God that somebody finally spoke something that makes sense. Thank you for actually telling me something that's real and that works. Thank you for not just jumping in with the crowd and muddling it up so you can be cool, but actually caring enough to stick out if necessary so that I could see light. I used to go caving. You know, my wife and I, we would go in Missouri. They have these awesome cave systems, and we'd go in there. It's so pitch dark, you can't see anything without your flashlight. Nothing. I mean nothing. You turn off your flashlight, I can hold my hand in front of my face, touching my nose, and not see my hand. I mean, it's pitch dark, total darkness. I can't see my way out of that cave for anything. if there's not light showing me the way, I am a dead man. I am lost in that cave forever because I can't find my way out. That's what it's like. In the sea of confusion that the devil stirred up with all these philosophies, he's trying to muddle the waters and confuse the way because he doesn't want people seeing that's the way out of the cave. That's the way out of your sin. That's the way out of your death penalty. You know that evangelist sitting here, he's like, I'm a dead man. They've got me. They know everything. They've nailed me on all these different charges. He's thinking, is there any way out of the inevitable? And when we stand up and proclaim the truth, Jesus, he's the way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Don't waste your time on the other stuff. You'll waste years of your life and only get yourself more broken. Don't do that. God doesn't want you to do that. Start now. Follow Jesus as Lord. And people make fun of you. People say it's silly. People say you're narrow-minded. You're foolish. You're just whatever. Your opinion means nothing. What matters is God's opinion. I'm going to stand before him. He won't say, you're so narrow-minded. He'll say, you're a wise man. That's what he'll say. You're a wise man. And not only that, the Bible says that the wise will, he who wins souls is wise. You're a wise man that loved people enough to speak the truth. Even though you took some hits for it, this is all the people that saw the light and that are now going to be with you, your brothers and sisters in the kingdom forever. Well, why don't you stand with me? I'll finish there. I took it a direct different route than I meant to. At the end. Never be ashamed of standing with Jesus on the truth. Everything in this life is temporary. Those who stand against him now will be in everlasting shame forever because their foolishness will be revealed. That was us at one time. But let's not stay there. Those who choose to stand with him may be looked at as fools in this age, but will be vindicated by Jesus himself in front of everybody for all of eternity after that. We'll be saying, man, this was a wise lady. This was a wise man. She agreed with what I said. It's not rocket science. That's what I love about following Jesus. It's not that it's so complicated. It's really simple. All we have to do, we don't have to be geniuses and come up with creative things. All we have to do is find out what he says, believe it, obey it. So I want to invite you. Would you like to follow Jesus as your Lord and accept God's provision for your salvation? Would you like that? If so, I just want you, where you're at, I just want you to lift both hands to the Lord like this in a sign of surrender. Just lift your hands to him. And just say this to him. Say, Jesus, you are the eternal source of salvation. I believe that. From this moment forward, I follow you. Whatever you say is right. Teach me your ways. I'll adjust where I need to. I'll change what I believe to agree with what you say. I'll change what I do to agree with what you command. I follow your way. And I thank you that all my sins are now forgiven. And I receive your promise. You promised the gift of the Holy Spirit to all who would follow you. So Holy Spirit, fill me. I receive you now. Have Chad come up on the guitar. I want to worship a little bit. Do you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Do you know that song? How to play it? You know it. Let's do that. I just want to respond by talking to the Lord and engaging him in worship. We're going to sing this song, "There's Power in the Name of Jesus to Break Every Chain." Yeah, there's power in the blood of Jesus to forgive every sin. And here's what I want to ask right now. If you would like prayer, and you're like, you know what? There's a particular sin in my life that I am struggling with, and I need power to overcome it. And I know that Jesus has made that power available, and I'm gonna take hold of this power. I need it. I want it. I want to receive it, and I want to overcome. And if you're like, I just want help with that. Or maybe there's something in particular that you're struggling with right now, just in your own mind or your own heart about Jesus. And you're like, I want grace to overcome this emotional or mental struggle. I remember one time there was a lady. My wife was ministering at another church, and there was a beautiful lady who was a follower of Jesus who came to her and says, "Would you pray for me? I sometimes struggle, even though I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I know God. Sometimes I still struggle with doubt about if there really is a God and all this kind of stuff." And my wife asked her, because my wife just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit. She says, "You know, where are you from?" She says, "I grew up in, I think it was Russia or something like that, in a communist country." And so she grew up being brainwashed from the time she was a child that there is no God, with this humanistic philosophy. And even though she'd got born again later in life, sometimes in the back of her mind, just that old familiar spirit would just kind of taunt her and torment her. And she's like, "I want to be done with this. Like, I'm sick of this. Like, no more. I know the truth. Would you pray with me just to help me overcome once and for all on this thing?" And she got breakthrough that day. So if there's something that you're just, "I need to overcome this. Like, I'm moving forward in following Jesus," I just want to invite you to come forward. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite other people to just come up and pray with you. So why don't you just come up right now if you want prayer for breakthrough. Awesome. Ashley, I love you, Ashley. If I could just have some intercessor team members just come down and pray with these ones who want prayer. Is there anybody else? If you want prayer, just come on forward. And then intercessor team members, jump in with them and start praying with them. And the rest of you, I encourage you, if we got no conversation right now, except with the Lord, I just want to take some time in worship. So if you're back there, just talk to the Lord where you're at. Just begin to worship him where you're at. And let the Spirit minister to you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, 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 break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice freely given, such a price for our redemption, heaven's gates fling wide. There is power every chain, break every chain, break every chain. All sufficient sacrifice freely given, such a price for our redemption. is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
If there's anyone that needs healing in your body, I just want to invite you to come forward to receive prayer for that. We'll agree with you and pray with you for healing in your body right now. So any physical healing that you need, just come on forward and we'll pray with you for that too.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain.